bring 'em out, bring 'em out, bring 'em out, bring 'em out. It's hard to yell when the bat rails in your mouth. Woo!
Ladies and gentlemen, it's time to salute your sport.
What is happening, everybody? You're listening to Salute Your Sports here on KCLU 88.1 FM and KCLU.FM. I'm Chris Mitchell, here with James Stanley on the boards, and Zach Berman over here in the co-pilot seat.
A phony at the mic.
Now, folks, I'm pretty excited. You know why I'm excited?
I don't know. Why are you excited?
Why?
Because Mizzou football is coming back, and if you're excited for another season of Mizzou football, can I get a hell yeah?
All right.
That's close enough for me. I'll take that to the bank.
Oh, man, Gremlin's already in the equipment today.
Oh, God. Yeah, I feel that.
Happy Thursday.
Happy Thursday, y'all. Woo!
Happy, incredibly humid, sticky, and kind of disgusting at Thursday.
Hey, it better be in New Jersey.
Oh, boy.
Perfect weather for watching.
I thought that Zach Berman was going to take that as a slight.
No, I'm too tired.
That's perfect energy for watching UCLA Cincinnati.
Don't disrespect the holy war like that. Come on. No, the game of the night is BYU-Utah. And I stand by that.
I felt like that was going to be like the easy layup joke to make, but I just wanted to hit you with a little bait and switch.
Anyways, I mean,
we're not talking about that today.
Yeah, no, we're not talking about that today. Talking about the boys in Laramie. Mizzou making the first ever trip for the program out to the University of Wyoming, playing the Cowboys. Game starts at 6:30 Central?
Yeah, something like that.
On
something of the sort.
CBS Sports Network. Woo!
Yeah, shout out to CBS.
It's not the Big Ten Network. Let's go.
I thought it's on SEC Network.
No. CBS Network, we're getting the call from Carter Blackburn and the greatest quarterback in SEC history, Aaron Murray on color. Gotta love it.
Talk about Chiefs legend Aaron Murray?
Yes, Chiefs legend Aaron Murray.
Wow, he's already gone to the broadcasting circuit.
Yeah, you kind of hate to see it.
Yikes.
Oh, well, it'd be like that sometimes.
Hey, must be better than Rex Hudler, right?
No Rex Hudler slander allowed.
Oh, the moon is such a pretty planet. Yep, it's a beautiful planet.
That is great, but we're not going to talk about all of that just yet. We will have a little bit more in-depth look at Mizzou versus Wyoming. But first, let's do a little bit of a general overview of the Mizzou football season as a whole. Of course, it kicks off with Wyoming. And after that, they got West Virginia here.
Country roads.
No. Take me. No.
After that, they got SEMO at home. And South Carolina at home. And Troy at home.
How does this schedule, how do they have like 7 games in a row at home?
That's just Hollywood magic, baby.
Like, how did that work out? They have 7 home games.
They do, which I was going to mention because I feel like this lends to like a trend of these teams having, I guess, cupcake schedules. Because this happened to Florida. This happened to Clemson. Alabama, well, I feel like most schedules they'd get would be cupcakes, but
let's be completely fair. Mizzou's schedule, in the grand scheme of things, when you look at the overall SEC, it's on the easier side.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. This is one of those years that could be like 2013 or 2014.
Yeah.
The main difference is that what hangs over this team, like a safe hanging over a man walking down the street in New York City, is the NCAA sanctions.
That's true. And
I'm going to be completely honest with you. I don't think Barry Odom nor anybody in that locker room or anybody on that bus to Wyoming right now gives any sort of a dang about that postseason ban. They're just looking to win and win and win, and whatever happens, happens.
I agree. I could see this team, if they theoretically went 12-0, they would pull a UCF and get them rings. I could totally see that.
Cut down the
people's champ.
Cut down the goalposts, bring them to Harpo's, get a parade going.
That'd be fun. Take them like Big 12 or something. Anyways, after Ole Miss, they got a road game stretch against Vanderbilt, Kentucky, and then against number 3, Georgia. Afterwards, you got one against Florida, down the swamp, in Columbia, then to Tennessee, not at Tennessee, Tennessee here, and then finally at Arkansas for the battle line rivalry.
Well, not exactly at Arkansas. The game is actually in Little Rock, not in Fayetteville.
Oh, really?
Yes.
I did not know that.
And that comes on the heels of Mizzou announcing that the 2020 Arkansas game will actually not be in Como, but in fact at Arrowhead Stadium.
That's right. It's coming to Arrowhead. The boys are coming home at long last.
Now, I believe the last game Mizzou had at Arrowhead was the BYU game. That was right after the protests.
Yeah. Yeah, that is the
Gary Pinkel's last.
That is correct.
Yeah, that was a pretty solid game. Was it a solid game?
Yeah, well, Mizzou won.
I mean, yeah, but
it was more of a rebound game, isn't that? No, they carry Gary Pinkel off the field after the Tennessee game. That's right.
Yeah, yeah. So, anyways, without further ado, like we mentioned earlier, this schedule has the potential to be pretty interesting. As far as strength of schedule goes. I mean, I feel like people are kind of like all over the place on this. Me personally, I'm not super mega positive on the whole Mizzou going like 10-2 or whatever. But I do think there's potential here for Mizzou to go like, I don't know, like 9-3, 8-4, something like that. Maybe 7-5, worst case scenario, but I want to hear what you guys think about it real quick.
I think I see 10-2. I really do. You cannot tell me that Mizzou is not at least the second best team in the SEC East. After what we saw Florida do last weekend, it was probably the ugliest win by a top 10 ranked team I have watched in a long time.
Well, I think a lot of that has like Lennon's to do with the strength of Miami's defense. While their O-line wasn't particularly great and they sort of suffered as a whole for it in the long run, especially in that last possession they had in the fourth quarter to try to take over the game.
How do you draw a PI on a 4th-and-34? How does that happen? That was awful.
Hollywood magic. But anyways, I feel like, speaking to a greater point about Florida, I feel like Mizzou's been pretty lucky these past couple of years because they've been met with some Florida teams who were under new management as far as like interim coaches go, and then under new management again as sort of like a year zero / like year 0.5 type deal with Dan Mullen. And now we're starting to see potentially Dan Mullen starting to reap the benefits a little bit of what he's been working on. Defense, very solid. Again, Todd Grantham always with his creative, eccentric blitz packages.
I mean, the defense looked great, or good enough at least. And no matter how bad Florida may have looked, a win's a win. And the way they play doesn't really show whether it's 0-1 or 1-0. Florida does have a tough schedule, and they traditionally don't play well in the cold, and early mid-November in Columbia could be snowing, could be a little bit chilly. I don't see that being a good game for the Gators.
Well, and then can we also talk about how Florida has pretty much might be the most overrated top 10 team the entire country right now.
Notre Dame intensifies.
But yeah, I do feel like there have been a lot of people sort of hyping up the Florida hype train, especially after the Orange Bowl against Michigan.
Yeah, no. They smacked a demoralized Michigan team just been absolutely boat raced by Ohio State.
Yeah, I feel like once like you sort of get like the air out of your tires from a game like that after you've been essentially like the better team all season, only to just have it blow up in your face like that against a team that lost by like 20 to Purdue. I mean, yeah, it's tough, but I feel like speaking of Florida doing Florida things, Felipe Franks, I feel like we got
a definitive look, I should say, of what Felipe Franks like really is. Like, and I think we've seen this like throughout most of his career, is that he can like use his arm, use his legs to create these big plays that'll get you right back into the game. But at the same time, he could also use his arm and his legs to play you right back out of that game at the same time. I mean, we saw that in the Florida-Miami game.
He's Josh Dobbs 2.0. That's the way I see it.
Yeah, where he just threw this insane, like, what were you thinking pick at the fourth quarter to lead up to that final possession for Miami. Right after he sort of flexed the crowd a little bit, talk about, I do this, then just immediately throws an interception.
Is this Felipe Franks' third year at the Gators?
I believe he's a senior now.
Yeah, he threw the Hail Mary against Tennessee a few years back, didn't he?
Yeah, I think so.
So you have a throw like that, which is one of the best throws I've seen in recent memory in terms of when it happened and in the situation that it happened. And then you have a guy that's throwing picks in like the worst possible times right after saying, look at me, this is me, I'm going to go out and get this done. I don't know. I think the good and the bad balance out, and I just see mediocre.
I just see a land of contrasts, and that's where I am with Felipe Franks. Anyways, I feel like West Virginia, SEMO, shouldn't be too much of a problem. South Carolina could get pretty hairy, as is all of South Carolina entanglements for Mizzou the past, like, 3 years or so. I feel like that could be said for a lot of...
I think it goes back to Andrew Baggett.
Yeah. Yeah, I could see that. I also think it could, like, I don't know. It could play in Mizzou's favor? I don't know. And then, of course, they play Troy, which... big nervous for Troy, let me tell you.
Well, Troy has done some... Troy has upset Mizzou before.
Yeah, I could see Troy being, like, one of those games like Middle Tennessee State.
Why'd you have to remind me of Middle Tennessee State like that? And then you got Ole Miss for the homecoming game, which I
feel like... Ole Miss is a good team.
Ole Miss could be good. I think they're in a little bit of, like, a reloading state right now.
Got one question for you, though. Out of the SEC West, who'd you rather play, Ole Miss or Alabama?
Ooh. on homecoming or just, like, in general?
In general.
I'd probably go Ole Miss.
Would the game be at Furrow?
I think you're missing my point. My point is that this is a good year for Missouri in terms of scheduling with the SEC West.
Ole Miss is a solid 8-4, but at the same time, Alabama, I mean, we know what we saw Alabama in person last year. They're Alabama. I don't think there's anything more that has to be said.
What more can be said? But yeah, it could be pretty interesting. I'm not quite sure how the defense is going to shake out for Ole Miss. I guess we'll have to see once we're like a few like games into the season. Then they got Vandy, which Vandy still winnable. They kind of gave Mizzou a little bit of a scare last year, but Mizzou was able to sort of figure themselves out and sort of get back on that horse. And actually, you know, do what they were supposed to do, which is beat Vandy. I see Vandy as like a strong 6'6", 5'7" team. So being able to beat that on the road wouldn't be too amazing, but it'd still be, you know, not too bad by any stretch. And then you got Kentucky on the road.
They've lost a lot.
Yeah. Kentucky did lose a whole bunch in this offseason. Now, I'm just like, I feel in like the past couple of years, it hasn't really mattered the personnel that Kentucky's been able to sort of scrounge together. Granted, the last two times Mizzou played Kentucky and the last two times Mizzou lost, Kentucky ended up going to a bowl game and winning those bowl games. Last year, I think they beat Penn State. Year before that, Northwestern. But outside of that, yeah, it still could get really super hairy, even if they don't have guys like Benny Snell or Josh Allen anymore, and they have to rely more on Terry Wilson, who I'm not as low on Terry Wilson as I guess most people are. I feel like he could be a very efficient and a very good game manager.
I'm
and I feel like he uses
Terry
his feet
Wilson
very well.
Than I am on a Felipe Franks.
For me, it's like a coin flip. I feel like their strengths are like very, I guess, muted, or I guess aren't as talked about that much. And then, of course, you got Georgia in Athens. That's going to be just...
It's tough, but you got to remember, Mizzou was one or two plays away last year from tying or taking the lead in that game.
Yeah, I think a lot of that goes down to, like, I don't know, a lot of these like botched call situations happen. But I feel like also a lot of part of that is I think Georgia was just better equipped, like, you know, fully execute down the stretch, as it were, or to play a complete, like, four-quarter game.
Well, you have a senior Jake Fromm, who's a top-five quarterback in the country. You have a really good recruiting class, I believe the first in the country.
Definitely, like, top five. Top five.
Top five.
At the very least. And I don't think it's five or four.
I think Georgia's number one. I don't know why I say that. Must have read up on that somewhere.
So you got that. I believe DeAndre Swift is still around.
DeAndre Swift,
oh, he's a beast. Big fan of DeAndre Swift.
Georgia had more five-star recruits than Bama.
Ooh.
Even though Georgia, according to 247 Sports, is ranked number two. Alabama had 3 5-star commits. Georgia had 5.
Man, that's, ooh, man. That's pretty interesting. Let's see. Outside of that, got Florida. I mean, we talked y'all's ears off about Florida already. And how I feel like Mizzou's been benefiting from a bunch of coaching changes, changing in management, as it were, with Florida these past couple of years. Because I feel like when Florida has, like, you know, actual coaching and things of that nature, they can build together a pretty good team. And that can actually pump Mizzou. Who knows? After that, first you got Tennessee and Missouri, which, I mean, yeah.
We all know Tennessee's history against Mizzou since Mizzou has joined the conference. Mizzou tends to wipe the floor with them.
Yeah, but it'll be interesting to see what Tennessee's looking like this far into year two of the sort of Jeremy Pruitt era. They could be, you know, just, like, really fixing for a bowl win or something like that. They could be, like, 5-6 at this point.
I see Tennessee as a strong 6-6.
Yeah, but this is what I'm saying. This could be a real, like, I don't know, wet badger in, like, the corner of a barn, and you got to get the lawnmower type situation where Mizzou has to go get that lawnmower, but there's that wet badger in there just angry.
What are you talking about?
it's just like a metaphor in case something, like, really gets hairy. And you might lose an arm or an eye, but you got to go get that lawnmower and you got to mow that lawn.
What about Arkansas?
They should be testy in, like, 2020.
Arkansas lost, like, everybody.
They did lose, like, everybody.
Oh, man.
Which is not optimal if you're a new head coach and you're in, like, year two and you lose everybody. But I guess that's, like, sort of, like, the problem with, like, the hand you're dealt.
So we've talked the schedule, we've talked the postseason ban, which I don't really think is going to play that much of a role here.
Me neither.
It'll also speak loads to the ability for Barry Odom to motivate his guys, too.
Yeah.
They're able to come out with the, you know, the 10-2 schedule, which is what the Kansas City Stars individually picked them.
Yeah, I was going to mention that. Kansas City Star really, really high on Mizzou's schedule. I feel like, do we want to do, like, a best case, worst case scenario?
Oh, best case scenario is 12-0. It's always 12-0.
Always 12-0.
Best case scenario, 12-0. The postseason ban gets lifted. They go win the championship, and then just Mizzou becomes the next powerhouse. Worst case scenario is 0-12. If you want to go completely,
let's keep it in the realm. That is some
really top notch analytics.
Oh
there.
Yeah.
Let's
no.
keep it in, like, the realm of, like, actually, like, realistic best and worst case scenarios. If we
worst
could.
Case scenario is 6-6.
Ooh, yeah, that'd be pretty hairy. I feel like worst case scenario for me would probably be, like, I don't know, 6-6 as well. I think best case would probably be somewhere in the neighborhood of, like, 9-3, 10-2 on like a really good day, or maybe, like, 8-4.
8-4, I think is pretty realistic, kind of like last year's season.
Yeah.
But it's just, once again, it just makes you wonder what this thing with the NCAA is going to hand down, especially with now how the precedent's something that's set previously, But look how the NCAA has dealt with Mississippi State and Georgia.
Yeah, I'm not quite sure how like that'll shake out in relation to Mizzou. I'm not too confident about that changing what they had in mind for Mizzou in the first place. Yeah, I feel like if they were going to change their minds about anything, it probably wouldn't be through stuff they did with other schools. Rather, it'd probably be from something via, I don't know, the school itself making a good enough case for them.
Can Missouri
good
just
enough
like
case for them? If you catch my drift,
can Missouri just make a case? Just like not a case, but can Missouri just lead the charge and just like secede from the NCAA?
Oh, I
and just like
see
form
that.
Like its own like I don't know what you would call it.
Organization,
cult. Instead of the NCAA, it could be the MCAA because Missouri.
All right, I'm gonna give y'all a bold statement.
Here's what that
one
bold
of the
statement.
Best scenarios for Mizzou: the bowl ban stays first and foremost. The team goes 10-2 or higher. What does that say to recruits that Barry Odom was able to keep this team, keep them winning? Despite the fact that they got screwed by the NCAA, what does that say to this program going forward that you had a winning season against all odds, brand new facility that's pretty beautiful, by the way?
Yeah, it's pretty snazzy, not going to lie.
I don't know. I still think you want – well, because part of the reason of those bowl trips is to help recruit.
Also true.
If we're being honest.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to be optimistic.
I feel that. I feel like there is a sort of, like, valor in, you know, having a coach that'll, like, lead you through, like, I don't know.
Oh, heavens, yes, there is.
I don't know how good of a coach Barry Odom is, but I'd run through a wall for him. That's
I feel like that's the...
Zach Berman will now run through a wall.
Like, right
for
now.
For Barry Odom.
Play the run-through-wall sound effect. We don't have one, but play it anyways.
What?
Yeah, that's the one. Anyways, key players for the season.
Run the dang.
Does that work, Sandra Bullock?
That works. Key players for the season. Let's see.
Come on. Kelly Bryant.
Kelly Bryant. Definitely up there.
Cale Garrett. I'll go a little outside
the
box here.
Now we're talking. Get someone out of the defense, finally.
But, so, I mean, let's be real here. It all lives and dies with Kelly Bryant. We've seen what he has done in Clemson. Definitely a run-first kind of guy. But he's dynamic. He took Clemson all the way to the playoff. He wouldn't have beaten A&M last year without him.
Definitely true.
What is Kelly Bryant's ceiling?
Ooh.
Patrick Mahomes. Hey, you want to hear a thing about Patrick Mahomes? You know the Mahomes Magic Crunch?
What, that sounds like Kermit?
Cereal.
I mean, that's true, but he's got cereal now. Did you know this?
No, I did not.
He has cereal at Hy-Vee stores.
Oh, it looks like I'm going to Hy-Vee after I get back from Atlanta.
Well, now I'm not going to discuss prices about it, but they sold out in Kansas City.
I've heard this.
What is it flavored? Like, what does it taste like?
It is like hotel Frosted Flakes. It is
that's
not
That's a
good.
Really good description of it.
Have you had it, Chris?
No, but that's a very apt description.
Well, anyways, I got four boxes because I thought, you know, well, they're not going to make any more of it. You can't buy it in Kansas City. And yet here in Columbia, there are stockpiles of it.
Oh, my God. Looks like I got to go to Hy-Vee. That might be the second best NFL cereal I've ever seen since Gronk Flakes.
Just get it for the box. The cereal is awful.
Come on. You got to get Gronk Flakes. It's not better than...
Is that a real thing?
That is a real cereal.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
When did they make that?
2012.
Ooh. 2012? It looks like from like 1999. Like I'm going to see like Michael Jordan like dunking over the top of it.
All right. I'm going on to eBay right now. Gronk Flakes are going for...
How many yen?
I don't know.
How many euros?
Pesos.
In capital letters, rare unopened Gronk Flakes cereal.
Oh, yeah. Rare is relative.
Yeah. We're just going to ignore the Best Buy date.
$220. Oh, my God. Yeah. $220.
We hear So Your Sports do not condone paying over $220 to buy cereal.
For a box of cereal? Oh, my goodness.
Do not break your budget to buy cereal. And I think with that, we're going to take it to a short break. When we come back, we're going to wax on a little bit about Wyoming because it could be a very interesting game, at least from a Wyoming's defense versus Mizzou's offense type scenario. But beyond that, you're listening to Salute Your Sports here on KCOU 88.1 FM and KCOU.FM. We'll be right back.
Missouri Tigers football and men's and women's basketball on KCOU 88.1 FM and KCOU Sports is brought to you by El Rancho. Located at 1014 East Broadway, El Rancho provides themselves in serving up fresh and authentic Mexican food. To look at their menu and learn more, go to www.columbiamomexicanfood.com. Thank you, El Rancho, for supporting KCOU 88.1 FM, the student voice of the Missouri Tigers.
Now that I've gotten on the internet, I'd rather be on my computer than doing just about anything.
It's really cool.
The internet gave us a whole world of exciting new possibilities. So I guess this is a story of how it changed our lives.
Change your life. Change the way you do the internet. Go like KCOU on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at KCOU and on Instagram at KCOU881. Stay up to date on the latest online content, events, giveaways, and more.
You may be right. I think we're being followed now.
Don't look. Just play cool.
So what are you waiting for, young keyboard warrior? The wonderful world of KCOU is just one click away.
Driving has a rhythm all its own. Don't wreck it with a text. Before you get behind the wheel, silence your phone. Or better yet, designate a texter. For more text-free driving tips, visit stoptextstoprex.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration.
Tune in to High and Tight with me and my co-host Logan Perrone as we catch you up on the latest signings, trades, news, scores, and highlights from around America's pastime. Every Sunday at 11 a.m. on the 88.1 FM stream and on our website, kcu.fm on the Blue Box.
Welcome back, everybody, to Salute Your Sports here on KCOU 88.1 FM and KCOU.FM. I'm Chris Mitchell here with James Stanley on the boards.
And Tom Cruise.
And Tom Cruise.
Goose.
And Goose. And
and the Bergmeister.
I got the need for speed.
Playing with the boys. Cue shirtless volleyball montage.
We're here talking about a second Top Gun?
Yeah.
All right, Wyoming.
Oh, man. You know something that needs a reboot?
What?
Mizzou football.
This is your shot. This is the opportunity right now. No better time than the president. Of course, the president now is talking about Wyoming because Mizzou is playing actual football this Saturday at Wyoming. Wyoming, very nice. I've been there once. It's pretty cool.
It's fantastic. Unbelievable. It was the greatest place I've ever
been. He's got nice geysers. Got some elk, too. Very solid.
Did you go to Jackson Hole?
I don't think so. I saw Steamboat.
It's Colorado.
Steamboat, Colorado?
No, like the geyser Steamboat.
Oh.
At Yellowstone. It didn't go off. They were saying it was going to go off like all week, and then it just didn't go off while I was there.
Is that Old Faithful or is that different?
It's different from Old Faithful.
Did you see Old Faithful?
I did, and I saw it go off, and it was very cool.
I've only been to the Montana side of what do you call it, Yellowstone?
Ooh, yeah, the Montana side's pretty cool, too. I could tell you guys a story about that.
Chris, you went on a giant adventure this summer.
I did.
You saw the Grand Canyon.
I did.
California Sunny Shore.
Mm-hmm.
And Yellowstone all on the same trip.
Yellowstone.
And the Badlands, right?
The Badlands. I went to Sequoia National Park. I saw those big trees. Saw the Ulysses S. Grant tree, the Sherman tree.
Oh, yeah. Legends.
Pretty dang big trees.
Hey, speaking of Shermans. How about that new buyer for the Kansas City Royals potentially?
Yeah. Word on the street is.
Man, we're getting way down the rabbit trail right now.
It's okay.
All right. So, Wyoming, head coached by Craig Bull,
Why does
that name ring a bell?
Before he was at Wyoming, he was at North Dakota State. He finally three seasons led the Bison to three straight NCAA FCS championships.
And his replacement is now the head coach of K-State. Mm-hmm. And he also led North Dakota State to a few titles of his own. Now, Craig Bull is usually known for fielding together these pretty solid, pretty excellent defenses by not just FCS standards, FBS standards. And Wyoming's defense,
It's taken a little bit of a dip via attrition, just off the strength of players leaving, graduating, things of that nature. But it still should be a top, I'd say, 70 unit in the country, which I feel like playing against a top 70 defense with very solid linebackers, a solid secondary, which probably isn't as deep as it might have been in years past, would be a good sort of tune-up, a good sort of practice round for Mizzou, just to see where they're at on offense, to see where Kelly Bryan's at, where these new guys are at, like Tyler Beatty, who might take, you know, more snaps in this offense. Guys like Jalen Knox, Cam Scott, Albert Okwuegbunam. He's not new, but just to see where he's at, Daniel Parker.
Well, it's also about building chemistry, with especially with the new quarterback and yeah. Kelly Bryant.
Despite the challenges, you got to remember, this game is being played like 7,000 feet above sea level. It's the highest stadium in the country. That's so also true. Even though Wyoming might not be that good of a team, this is a tough game because you are up practically in the sky.
I've read something. I think it was a Missourian who did this, or a Missourian adjacent newspaper who was talking about covering how these like Mizzou players are preparing for these like high altitude conditions. I think the kicker was they're drinking a lot
Tucker
of beet, ju-
beet juice.
Beet juice.
Okay.
I think
beet
that's
beet juice.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess that works. I mean, Columbia, Missouri is flatter than a Kirk Cousins in important games, but
no, you know.
No, it's not. Have you been down to Jefferson City? Down toward that way on 63
Look,
South?
Look, I'm from New Jersey. It's pretty hilly. We don't have that here.
There are plenty of hills.
Down near like Lake of the Ozarks.
Not Lake of the Ozarks, within Boone County.
Huh. Well, how about that?
If you go out toward the big tree, there's this hill you can go down, and I swear you can pull at least a G on it. I felt the blood rush to my head.
Well, can't wait to bring the Subaru down there. I've got to find a place to go off-roading.
Ooh. Do some mud in the trucking?
Yeah.
I feel that.
A New Jerseyan in a truck mudding. That's what I want to see.
I mean, Subaru, pretty good four-wheel drive.
Notice we stopped talking about Wyoming after the defense because I don't know what to say about their offense, really.
Well, their last notable player in Wyoming offensive history is Josh Allen, who's probably breaking a table somewhere in a Buffalo parking lot. But
ooh, yeah. I feel like Josh Allen could be good this year.
I think
or at least
he will be
good. No, I guess we'll see. But anyways, I think Mizzou's defense shouldn't have too many issues with Wyoming's offense.
Wyoming is not a pushover, though.
That
means.
Is true.
It is. They had a bit of an offseason last year, if you want to call it that. 6-6, 4-4 in conference without a bowl game. But before that, they had back-to-back 8-win seasons.
Yeah, so they're pretty. Granted, I feel like a lot of that has again to do with like the strength of that defense, which has gone through some, you know, turnover.
Do you think it could potentially be a low-scoring game on Saturday?
No.
I feel like that puts a cap on how many points Mizzou will score, but I don't think that's going to mean it's going to be like a, I don't know, one or two score game. I think it just means something like Mizzou's going to win.
I can see
by
it being like 28-14, or even go a little higher than that, like, you know, like 35-3. Like, wasn't there one of those UConn games that Mizzou won like that?
Yeah, I see something like, I don't know, like 35, like 17 being like a final score, or like 35 to like 12, 32, something.
35-1.
I don't know why.
The vaunted 1-point safety.
I'm going to go back to this game, which was 2017. It was Washington State at Wyoming. That was 2 years ago.
You're using Wazoo, though. That's cheating.
I know I'm using Wazoo, like, but I'm just going for some reference here. Wazoo was a good team that year.
Service in St. Louis has issued a severe thunderstorm warning for northeastern Boone County, western Audrain County, northwestern Callaway County until 5:15 p.m. At 4:33 p.m., a severe thunderstorm was located near Centralia, moving southeast at 20 miles per hour. Expected hazards include 60 miles per hour wind gusts and quarter-size hail. This is a radar-indicated threat. The following impacts are expected. Hail damage to vehicles is expected. Expect wind damage to roofs, siding, and trees. Locations impacted include Mexico, Centralia, Hallsville, Avos, Sturgeon, Murray, and Hatton. This includes Interstate 70 in Missouri near exit 137. For your protection, move to an interior room on the lowest floor of a building.
Sundays at 9 a.m., it's the weekly walkthrough. Tune in to KCOU 88.1 FM to hear Ethan Salm and Nick Catlin recap everything that happened in the world of sports this week. Start your Sunday off right with the weekly walkthrough. Follow us on Twitter at WeeklyWalkKCOU for updates on the show. And remember to tune in to KCOU 88.1 at 9 a.m. on Sundays.
Look at me, big.
Service in St. Louis has issued a flash flood warning for northeastern Boone County, western Audrain County, southwestern Monroe County, and northeastern Missouri until 10:30 p.m. At 4:36 p.m., Doppler radar indicated thunderstorms producing heavy rain across the warned area. Up to 2 inches of rain have already fallen. Flash flooding is expected to begin shortly. Some locations that will experience flooding include Centralia, Hallsville, Sturgeon, and Thompson. Turn around, don't drown when encountering flooded roads. Most flood deaths occur in vehicles. Repeating, a flash flood warning has been issued until 10:30 p.m. for the following counties in Missouri, Audrain, Boone, and Monroe.
From college to MLB, join me, Taylor Renee.
And me, Emma Hayes.
As we discuss all things baseball on KCOU Sports' first and exclusively female talk show, A League of Their Own.
Tune in every Tuesday from 4 to 5 p.m. on KCOU 88.1 FM Columbia or online at kcou.fm.
There's no crying in baseball!
What's up, y'all? You're listening to Salute Your Sports here on KCOU 88.1 FM and KCOU.fm. I'm Chris Mitchell, James Stanley working the boards, Zach Berman over there devising his version of or nah, because that's right, folks, it's or nah time.
It's kind of like a deconstructed hamburger is the way I'm looking at this. It's not or nah, but it's true or false.
This is something a little bit different. And
I was not informed of this.
In the spirit of Mizzou's home opener against Wyoming. Excuse me, it's not Mizzou's home opener. It's Wyoming's home opener. I am going into the deep, dark world that is the state of Wyoming.
I don't like this.
And I want you guys to learn a bit about, I think it's the Cowboy State. I don't know.
Probably, maybe.
All right. Wyoming. Fun facts. Let's see if you know them. I'm going to start with you, Chris.
Oh, no. Chris won last week. He gets to choose if he wants to go first or not.
I'll go first. I'll bite the bullet on
all
the
right.
first one.
True or false? The University of Wyoming was founded before the state of Wyoming.
I'm going to say yes.
How about that?
I feel like that's very on brand for Wyoming.
Very on brand. All right. James. The Wyoming fight song is entitled Ragtime Cowboy Joe.
Yes, it is true.
It's false.
Are you kidding me?
Nope.
What is it called?
Fight Wyoming Fight.
You thought you had the one that's right, Stanley.
Yeah, because I've heard that song before.
Did they like change it or something?
No, Ragtime Cowboy Joe is like the equivalent of like the Missouri Waltz to them.
Okay.
All right.
Dun, 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 dun,
1-0 Cowboy, dun, in dun, favor dun, of
dun,
Chris.
Joe. Dun, 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 dun. Yeah.
We already brought up the football stadium elevation thing. Well, the Wyoming Cowboys got their nickname because back in the late 1800s, their team consisted of a literal cowboy on the depth chart.
I'm going to say nah.
That's true.
Ooh. Interesting.
According to Wikipedia, which I'm going to take very seriously, one of the players in the team said, "How about them cowboys?" when describing the cowboy on the team, and the name stuck. I'm not kidding about that. All right.
And that's why it lives to haunt us.
Where are we?
Day.
1-0 in favor of you, Chris.
That's right.
James.
You can tie it up right here.
Bergmeister.
Flame Stanley.
Head coach of the University of Wyoming, Craig Bull, played college football at North Dakota State. True or false?
False.
Correct. Where'd he play?
Nebraska.
Correct.
Ooh. You tell me they had options besides Scott Frost?
Chris. The only first-round pick in the University of Wyoming's history is Josh Allen.
False.
You're wrong. It's true.
I guess I have more faith in teams picking just completely out there teams from Wyoming.
James, chance to tie it up here.
No, this is a chance for the lead.
Casper, Wyoming is home to the only two sets of escalators in the entire state.
I'm going to go with true.
That is true. They are located in a bank, and they are a tourist attraction for local families.
Hey, kids, you want to go right up and down the escalator this afternoon?
When do we get to the ride? This is the ride. Woo! Yeah.
All right, where are we at score-wise?
1-1? 2-1.
2-1.
2-1, James.
Top of the fourth.
Chris, top of the fourth. Wyoming's basketball arena is named Cowboy Arena.
I'm going to say false.
It is false. Want to know what it's named? And I kid you not, it is named Arena Dash Auditorium.
Yeah.
I was going to say, is it nicknamed the Corn Crib, or am I thinking of a...
It's nicknamed the Double A.
Ever been to the Corn Palace?
Yeah, the Corn Palace. Have you been there?
Yeah.
Did you go there on your trip?
Yeah.
Did you go inside like the arena?
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be an awesome place to call a basketball game from?
It would be very awesome, but I don't know. It was kind of underwhelming. There wasn't like a whole lot to do outside of just like look at... Oh, no.
All right.
Shopty stuff.
James.
The arena was cool, though.
Time to put a stranglehold on the lead here. The country's first female governor was elected in the state of Wyoming.
Go with false.
That's true. Her name was Nellie Taylor Ross.
Ooh. What year was
and
this?
And she was the 14th governor of Wyoming from 1925 to 1927.
Dang. Shout out to you, Wyoming.
Wyoming was the last state in the union to raise the legal drinking age to 21. True or false?
That sounds very true.
It is very true.
And you know why? It's when the government started cracking down with the highway funding.
Ooh.
Yeah, they refused to give them highway funding if they did not raise their drinking age.
Wyoming changed the drinking age in 1988.
That's powerful, dude. That's real strong.
All right, where are we at score-wise?
I think I'm up by one.
Yeah, you're up 3-2.
All right, James. The tallest building...
No, you're up 4-2.
4-2.
Oh, okay.
The tallest building in the state of Wyoming is a dorm at the University of Wyoming. True or false?
I'm going to go with false.
It's true. White Hall of the University of Wyoming is 12 stories tall and the tallest building in the state of Wyoming.
12 stories? Wow.
12 stories.
Can you ride the escalator up to the top?
There is no escalator. Oh, boy.
I'm glad to inform you, there are no escalators at the top.
All right.
At White Hall.
Chris.
What's up?
One of the most esteemed alums of the University of Wyoming is, or was, a United States vice president.
True.
Who was it?
Dick Cheney.
True.
I was looking for that one. I knew that one was buried in there somewhere.
I've seen Vice.
Speaking of which, I found an old T-shirt number out of my dad's closet.
Yeah.
Over the weekend, it says I went hunting with Dick Cheney.
Oh my God, that's really bad.
And instead, it has the "went" crossed out and says I survived hunting with Dick Cheney.
Oh my gosh,
that is a straight throwback from what, 2004.
Yeah.
Is it long enough now where you can make that joke?
Like 2005.
I guess so. I mean, they made a movie about it, so you might as well.
What, Vice?
Yeah, it's a good movie.
Vice is about that sole incident.
No, it's about what
it's about his whole life.
No.
It's about more than that.
All right, James. The state bird of Wyoming is the western meadowlark. True or false?
I know Kansas is state.
Why are you looking at me
western,
like I know state birds?
Is the western meadowlark? So I'm gonna go with false.
You are wrong. It is true. The western meadowlark is the state bird of not one, not two, not three, but six states.
That's not fair.
Including Montana, Kansas, Nebraska, North Dakota, Oregon, and Wyoming.
I was thinking if it's already picked by one state, you can't double dip. George Costanza.
The capital of Wyoming is Laramie. True or false? You should know your capitals.
I'm going to say false.
You are correct. It is Cheyenne.
I knew it.
I'm glad you learned something from high school civics.
I'm gonna go ahead and see defeat here.
All right.
I think I'm down by four.
Okay. We also have like 3 minutes to go before
we're
we have to
out
take
time.
It over
All
right. to the Pulse.
We're gonna take this over to the Pulse?
In just a second, but first, you know what time it is?
Grievances.
It's time to air the grievances. Play that beautiful bean footage.
The tradition of Festivus begins with the airing of grievances. I got a lot of problems with you people. Now, you're gonna hear about it.
That's right, everybody. It's time to air the grievances out. We take the statement of the week and we turn it into a platform where we can vent or complain about whatever we are angry about at a given time. We're going to start off with Zach Berman.
Oh boy.
What's your beef with?
So, if you've been poking around Mizzou Twitter this morning, I'm sure you've seen Dave Matter's tweet that ended up catching fire regarding the Mizzou logo.
Yeah.
Have you not?
How is this old news?
I did not know this. And it makes me wonder, I would kind of like to see us change our school mascot to the Mules.
Oh, no.
It's interesting.
No.
How many Tigers are there in our conference?
How many Mules are in the state of Missouri? That's right. One already.
Yeah, University UCM. Of Central Missouri in Warrensburg.
Oh, I did not know that. Sorry, I'm an out-of-towner.
Go Mules.
But seriously.
And also Jenny's.
How cool is that? I never noticed that in the logo. My mind is completely blown.
And if you're not familiar with what he's talking about, it's the interlocking M and U. Where there's between the M and U, it's a Missouri Mule.
That's probably the coolest logo with a hidden message I've seen since the FedEx logo, where they have a right pointing arrow in between the E and the X. It blew my mind, and I'm glad it's finally made it onto Twitter. But you know, it's not very often where you learn something like that.
Hey Zach,
random.
I got a piece of trivia here for you.
What?
Where do mules come from? And it's not like a joke or anything.
Is it like a geographical question?
No, just like how do you make a mule?
It's like a horse and a donkey, right?
Okay. I'm shocked. I'm shocked you knew that.
Okay.
We're also sterile.
I'm gonna keep this quick. Okay, so brief starter. On Tuesday night, incoming Virginia Tech lineman Brock Hoffman announced that the NCAA has denied his final appeal for immediate eligibility, which meant that Hoffman would be forced to sit out the upcoming season. Hoffman has been scuffling with the NCAA over the particulars of his transfer from Coastal Carolina to Virginia Tech on a medical family hardship waiver since the organization initially denied his request in April. The meat and potatoes of this is the NCAA were kind of skeptical of the seriousness of his mother's brain tumor, which, I mean...
Oh, that's so NCAA.
That's like peak NCAA in like a summer where I didn't think we could get any more peak NCAA than we are right now. So shout out to you, NCAA. Bunch of jerks.
Don't disrespect the Carolina Hurricanes like that.
Who do I have a grievous to air about?
Who do you want to beef with?
Hy-Vee and the Patrick Mahomes cereal, how I couldn't find it. Went to 5 different stores in Kansas City.
I mean, I feel like given
to Columbia and it's all over the place.
I feel like given the content of like the box itself, like the actual cereal quality.
Oh, yeah, that's my beef. It's the actual cereal quality.
It does not fit up. It's awful.
Not,
it is not MVP caliber.
You're buying it for the box.
When you pour milk on it, it becomes slimy.
No, that's a hard pass.
Not soggy, slimy.
Man. Okay, we're going to end this with some soggy cereal. I'm Chris Mitchell.
What's your soggy cereal, Chris? That should be the new segment.
I don't put milk in my cereal.
I don't know, man.
Eat it with water?
No,
my soggy cereal is make sure to tune in to Mizzou, Wyoming on KCOU 88.1 FM. We're sending a crew to Laramie.
That's right.
Joey Miller and I believe Cole Tusing.
That's right. Cross
heading out to Laramie.
Be there. Get ready for it. Get ready for Sports Saturday. For everybody here at the Salute Your Sports Room.